speaking. Today's shir will discuss various aspects of the mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar, beginning with the sugya in Rosh Hashanah Dav Chav Tes of Rosh Hashanah Shechalios B'Shabbos that Bezras Hashem we experienced this year. The Mishnah tells us when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, there is a difference between Mikdash as opposed to Medina, that they were Tokeya B'Shofar and Beis HaMikdash, but not Bigvulin outside of the Mikdash itself. And the Gemara simply is troubled as to what exactly is the makar to distinguish between Mikdash versus Gvulin. How, in fact, do we know that, generally speaking, there is no Tkiyah Shofar in Rosh Hashanah Shechalios B'Shabbos? The Gemara begins by citing two psukim. The Gemara tells us, if you look in Parshas Emor, in Vayikra Chav Gimel, Rosh Hashanah is characterized as being a time of Zichron Trua. And if you look in Parshas Pinchas, in Bemidbar Perachav Tes, there the Torah tells us Yom Trua. How do you resolve that apparent distinction, Zichron Trua, as opposed to Yom Trua? So the Gemara suggests very simply, when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, we don't sound shofar, and therefore Zichron Trua. That is the pasuk in Emor. However, when it comes to the balance of days, then Rosh Hashanah is characterized as being a Yom Trua. The Gemara immediately is bothered by the following. If this really is true, that the fact that we are not Tokeya B'Shofar, Rosh Hashanah Shechalios B'Shabbos is a Din D'Oraisa, based on the Pasuk of Zichron Shua, how should you distinguish between Mikdash as opposed to Gvulin? Even in Beis HaMikdash then, they shouldn't sound the Shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shechalios B'Shabbos. So therefore the Gemara answers that no, that Mid'Oraisa, there is a Tkiyah Shofar irrespective of whether Rosh Hashanah is B'chol or B'Shabbos. The reason we not do so simply is because of the Gzeira D'Rabba, the concern that in the pursuit of filling mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar, one would violate the Din D'Oraisa of Mavra D'Aramos B'Shus HaRabim. And therefore, on a level of D'Rabbanon, one can certainly distinguish between Mikdash as opposed to Gvulin. This Siyog D'Rabbanon applies outside of Beis HaMikdash, but it is not uncommon that Ein Shvus B'Mikdash, and therefore in the Mikdash itself, we don't have to be concerned with that potential Chol Shabbos, Mashen Kein B'Gvulin. So Pashup Shat in the Gemara, Midarais, of course, one is obligated to be Tokeya B'Shofar, irrespective of Shabbos versus Chol. Midrabanan, we don't sudo Bigvulin because of the Gzeira D'Rabba. It's interesting, if you look in Shibolei Haleket, it's found in Simen Reish Sari Dalid, or you look in the Gilyonei Hashas, or Rav Yosef Engel, and that's Sugin Rosh Hashanah Chav Tes Madeis, they point out Makaros to suggest the following, that perhaps one could argue that this is not merely a Din D'Rabbanan. Perhaps this is true even Midaraisa. After all, the Gemara begins with two psukim, the pasuk of Zichron Trua and the pasuk of Yom Trua. The way we simply understand the Gemara is somehow we're left hanging as to how it is that you would account for the difference between Zichron as opposed to Yom Trua. And here Shibolei Haleket suggests a very great Kiddush. When the Gemara tells us this is a siyog, it does not mean on a level of Drabanan. Rav Yosef Engel writes elsewhere, if you look in Sefer Lekav Tov in Simen Ches, Rav Yosef Engel points out the concept of a siyog is true even daraisa as well. That which the Chachamim will often do, make siyog and gzeros drabanan, that is ke'en daraisa, because sometimes the Torah will go out of its way and create siyogim. If you look, for example, in the Ran, the very first daf in Maseches Pesachim, the Ran writes a very great chiddush that the reason the Torah forbids chametz through the isurim of Balyaron Bayimatzeh is a siyog daraisa atu achila. Why, when it comes to Sharma Achalas Asuros, there is no comparable isur to Balyaron Bayimatzeh, even if there would be a chi of kares like chelev, mashenke, when it comes to the case of chametz. The Ran writes that since lo bedile inishmene, a person is accustomed to eating chametz all year long, if you possess the chametz, so therefore sheva yavo la'achlo. Tosus writes this in Sachim Daf Beis when it comes to bedika derabanan. Why is a bedika necessary midrabanan? Because shema yavo li'achila. But the Ran adds that line that perhaps that's why the Torah forbids Balyaron Bayimatzeh. It's an important example, a model of an Isser Siyog that is true even on a level of Daraisa. The Torah can forbid A because it can lead to an Avera Chamura, such as B. Rabbi Yosef Engel delineates 15 cases where he finds Makaros of a Siyog Daraisa. The Shibolei Haleket suggests that perhaps this is even true here as well. The fact that we are not Tokeya B'Shofar, Rosh Hashanah Shechalios B'Shabbos, perhaps is a Din D'Oraisa, And it's a siyog because of this gzera of Shema Yami Reva Danamos Bershus HaRabim. Not as a din derabanan, but rather in fact as a din daraisa. Very great chiddush suggested in Shibulei Halaket. These are makoros that you find in Gilyonei Hashas is mentioned. We certainly assume that the sheet of the Bavli is midaraisa. You should be tokeya regardless of when Rosh Hashanah falls. Ben Bishab is Ben Bechol. The fact that we do not do so is a gzeira drabanan. It is interesting, if you look in Yerushalmi and that sugya, in Rosh Hashanah and Daf Choftes, the Yerushalmi simply works with the distinction of the psukim. The Yerushalmi writes, the fact that we are not tokeya b'shofar b'Rosh Hashanah shechalios b'shabes is a function of that posuk of zichron shrua and yom shrua. What the Gemara suggested, poshub shat as havamina, that's the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi does not mention the gzera deraba at all. According to the Yerushalmi, it seems explicit that this is a distinction daraisa, not merely as a gzera derabanan. This is a fascinating model where midaraisa, one is obligated to perform a given mitzvah, but yet our hands are tied. This is the sugni of Amos and of Tzadik and Rebbeis of Yesh Koach, b'yad chachamim lakor davar min haTorah, where it is true that midaraisa, yes, one is obligated to do so, but midrabanan the chachamim say that no, it's necessary to safeguard the din daraisa of Shabbos, and providing that protection, that hedge of Shmira Shabbos is even more important. That outweighs the mitzvah of Tekiya Shofar itself. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Mamrim, that concept of Yesh Koach B'yad Chachamim Lakor Davar Min HaTorah, the Rambam writes, is based on a svara and based on a posuk. The Rambam writes the posuk is V'shomru B'nei Yisrael HaShabbos Chalel Shabbos Achas Kadesh Yishmor Shabbos HaSarbei, that sometimes it's necessary to sacrifice a given mitzvah in order to preserve the Torah Hashem, and that is Yesh Koach B'yad Chachamim Lakor Davar Min HaTorah. And the Rambam gives us the mashal of Kishem Shaharofei Choteich Ever Echad. Sometimes, Rachman Litzlan, it's necessary to amputate a limb to save a body. In such a case, the Chachamim also have to make that Hashara, and that is the concept of Akiras Davar Min HaTorah. There is perhaps a very relevant sugya in Megillah and Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, where the Gemara describes the dialogue between Kadosh Baruch Hu and Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'mai da'kir Hashena, that how do I know that my descendants will be zochet to be able to inherit Eretz Yisrael? And the answer that the Pasuk gives us is, B'schus HaKarbanos. And Avram Avinu responds, the Tenach B'zman Shebeis HaMikdash Kayam. When you have a Beis HaMikdash, I understand very well, you'll offer karbanos. But what about Bizman She'ein Beis HaMikdash Kayam? What right do we have to secure Eretz Yisrael if, practically speaking, we are not offering karbanos? And that's where the Gemara comments that the answer of Rama Avinu was given is Kol HaOmer Parshazu Malav HaKosuv Ki'ilu Hikriv Karban. True, you don't have the actual mitzvah hands-on of HaKravas HaKarbanos, but yet you have the Parshios HaKarbanos. And therefore, Malav HaKosuv Kilu Hikriv Karban. That's the sug you're familiar with, the very end of Maseches Megillah, that Kriyas Parshios HaKarbanos, that to an extent is considered to be part of Unisham Afarim Sfaseinu. And that is considered to be our necessary vehicle, our substitute for the actual HaKravas HaKarbanos themselves. There's a fascinating comment that Rabbi Yonah has. It's found in Shabbos, Nafei Amid Aleph, and Dapi Harif, where Rabbi Yonah seems to cite that Gemara Megillah and Daf Lamed Aleph as a din daraisa, because Rabbi Yonah lists off parshios of the Torah where there's a mitzvah of kriya. Rabbi Yonah suggests a very great chiddush, the name of Rabbi Shlomo Menahar, that if there is a parsha of the Torah where there's a mitzvah of kriya, that is categorically excluded from the principle of Dvarm Shebichsav Yatara Shaila Amro Balpeh. We know that normally speaking, parshios of the Torah should not be recited Alpeh. What happens if you're dealing with a parsha where there's a mitzvah of Kriya? There Rabbi Yonah writes, by definition, if there's a mitzvah of Kriya, it's excluded from that consideration. And Rabbi Yonah goes a step further and argues as follows. It's not even exempted at the time that you're performing a mitzvah, but even if you will read that parsha outside of the parameter of the mitzvah, By definition, that parsha of the Torah is not bound by Dvarm Shebet Savi Atarei Shaila Amra Bal Peh. Rabbi Yonah is bothered by the following: the Mishnah Brachos, Daptes Samadeis, Hakorim Kan Beilef Lo Hifsin, Kadam Hakori BeTorah. You read the parshas of Kriya Shema after the Zman Kriya Shema. The Mishnah says Lo Hifsin. The Gemara is bothered. Well, of course Lo Hifsin. Why would you think there's anything wrong with reading one of the parshios of the Torah? Rabbi Yonah is quite bothered. Of course there's something wrong with reading one of the parshios of the Torah, because Dvarim Shebichsav, Iyata Rishai Lorem Bal Peh. Bishlamov, one is reading the parsha of Kriya Shema during the Zman Kriya Shema. That I understand. That's the mitzvah of Kriya. But Akori Mikan Ve'elech, if the Zman has already expired, what right do you have to read the parshios of Shema Bal Peh? And that's the Chiddush. Rabbi Yonah answers that no, if you have a parsha of the Torah where there's a mitzvah of Kriya, it's excluded from this principle even if it's recited at a time that you're not fulfilling the mitzvah. And that's why the Mishnah says that one is allowed to recite the parsha of Kriya Shema even outside of the Zman Kriya Shema itself. But now closer to home for our purpose, Rabbi Yonah says, and what are these examples of the parshios where there's a mitzvah of Kriya? Oh, Vidui Meiser and Mikra Bikurim. And the Rabbi Yonah adds to the list as a Din D'Oraisa the Kriyas Parsha Sakarbanos as well. Because after all, that Gemara tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu that Bizman She'ein Beis HaMikdash Kayam Malav HaKosov Kilo Hikriv Karban, that when a person cannot perform the mitzvah in the normal sense, you don't have a Beis HaMikdash, you don't have HaKravas HaKarbanos, through Amira, through Dibur, through Kriyas HaParsha, that is considered to be inappropriate substitute. It's an important chiddush. Rabbi Yonah writes, that is true as a din d'oraisa, the importance of parshas hakarbanos. There is a tosus in Megillah and Daf Dalet. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi tells us that if you have a case of Purim shechadios b'Shabbos, when Purim falls on Shabbos, sholim v'dorshim b'inyan al shayom, a person should involve himself in inyan al shayom, in the theme, in the hilchos Purim. So Tosus writes the following: why Purim shechadios b'Shabbos? Is it only, or is it even Purim Shechalios B'Shabbos, or perhaps no, only Purim Shechalios B'Shabbos? So Tosus writes the latter possibility. Tosus writes in Megillah and Daf Dalet, when Purim falls out on a weekday, so the Pirsuminis is through the Kriyas HaMegillah. However, when Purim falls out on Shabbos, and there is no Kriyas HaMegillah because of the Gzeira Derabba of Shema Yavren Danos B'Shus HaRabim, so when you can perform the mitzvah Kitikuna, so that's exactly what the Gemara says, then the next tier is the Sholim V'Darshim. Just as when it comes to HaKrevas HaKarbanos, in that sense, when you can't offer a karban, Kolom Raparshazu, Tosos writes the Chiddush, that when one cannot read the Megillah, because one's hands are tied, that's the special takana of Sholim V'Darshim. It's relevant when it comes to Rosh Hashanah Shechalios B'Shabbos, Sukkah Shechalios B'Shabbos. Because of the Gzeira D'Rabba, one cannot perform the mitzvah in its normal sense, and then that next tier of what the Gemara says, that through Kriya Saparsha, through Limud Halachos, that's part of Malav HaKosuv Ki'ilu Hikriv Karbon. Rabbi Kveger raises a fascinating issue. It's found in Drish V'Chiddush in Marach Aches. And what happens if a person is Tokea B'Shofar and Rosh Hashanah Shechalios B'Shabbos? No doubt he should not do so, right? The Gzeira D'Rabba that one cannot go in and do so, but nonetheless, a person does. Would you argue that a person fulfilled the mitzvah d'araisa? After all, mitzvah midaraisa, there is a chiyuv of tkiya shofar, but he violated the gzeira d'raba? Or would you argue above and beyond that? No, that's not true. That since the chachamim forbid such an act, in that case, they uprooted, they were mafkiya, the mitzvah d'araisa, that there is no kiyum at all. And Rabbi Kveger writes the interesting chiddush. He doesn't quote right many rayas to support the position. Rabbi Kveger writes simply as follows: that undeniably there is a kiyum mitzvah daraisa if one is tokeya b'shofar Rosh Hashanah Shechalios B'Shabbos, even if he violates the iser of Shema Yavreinu Daramos B'Shus HaRabim. The fact that the chamim say no midrabanan does not impact on its status as a mitzvah on a level of Daraisa. This is what the Achron discussed at length. When do we assume that, that is true, that there is independence, or when do we assume, no, that the Chachamim redefine, refrain, and therefore, when that is the case, one would not fulfill the mitzvah Daraisa at all? Tosus writes in Sukkah and Daf Gimel Amud Aleph the following. Tosus quotes the sugya later in Sukkah, the Mishnah Daf Chav Tes. A person who sits in the Sukkah, Varosho Varubo, is Besocha Sukkah, but Shulchano Besocha Bayis. Now a person goes ahead and constructs his Sukkah adjacent to his garage, for example. The Shulchan is inside the garage, and he is sitting outside. Midaraisa, that is a legitimate yeshiva basukkah. He is sitting in the sukkah. However, midrabanan, right, Shammai forbids such a practice. Tosus points out, those are the unusual cases that we assume as Shammai, and that is because Shemi Mashech Achar Shulchano. That if you're sitting in the sukkah in that fashion, that it's only a question of time until you will end up Besoch HaBayis as well, and not fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah. So even though midaraisa, that is considered to be sufficient, midrabanan were concerned that Shemi Mashech Ach Ar Shulchano. So Tosos is troubled, because the language of that Mishnah in Sukkah, Daf Cheh, says, Im Kain, if that's how one sits in Sukkah, Lo Kiyamta Mitzvah Sukkah Miyamecha. You have never fulfilled the Mitzvah of Sukkah at all. And Tosos is quite bothered. It's very strong language, Lo Kiyamta Mitzvah Sukkah Miyamecha, to describe one who Midaraisa is fulfilling the Mitzvah, but midrabanan, right, is violating a gzera of Shemi Mashech Achar Shulchano. So Tosus suggests this very great chiddush, that you see from the Lashon HaMishnah, that once the Chachamim forbid such a yeshiva besukkah, because Shemi Mashech, in such a case, literally, Lo Kiyamta Mitzvah Sukkah Miyamecha, there's no independent Kiyum Daraisa. The Chachamim have the right to interpret, to frame the mitzvah, and therefore, if the Chachamim said no and you do, it's not just simply you violated an independent Gzeira de Rabbanan, but rather you did not fulfill the mitzvah of Sukkah at all. And this is against the view of the Ran. The Ran writes there in Sukkah Daf Chav Ches that even though the Mishnah tells us Lo Kiyamta or Lo Yatzi de Chavaso, it means Kerayu, that you didn't fulfill the mitzvah lechatchila. That was not an ideal form of yeshiva v'sukkah, but one would fulfill the mitzvah d'arais of sukkah as long as it's rosho v'rubo v'sukkah, even in the case of shulchano v'soch habayis. The Ran even quotes a further example when Rabbi Gamliel tells us the Mishnah, Ko shlom ha-shlosh ha-dvarim v'pesach. Lo yotzi de'chavaso, pesach matzen mar. Is that really true? A person spends the entire night engaged in Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim, and he fails to mention Pesach Matzah Marar. There's no kiyum at all. That's the example, the model that the Ran quotes to indicate that sometimes Lo Yatzi Dechavaso or Lo Kiyamta means on a level of the Chatchila, does not mean B'dievid, there is no kiyum at all. There would be a kiyum mitzvah Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim even if one fails to acknowledge the mitzvah Salayla, and there is a kiyum mitzvah Daraisa of Yeshiva B'sukkah in that particular case. So a chiddush, the Tosus writes that sometimes the Chachamim uproot. And Rabbi Kiveger points out that when it comes to the case of Netilas Lulav B'Shabbos, or the case of Tkiyah Shofra B'Shabbos, in such a case, no, one fulfills the mitzvah d'araisa despite the fact that one violated the gzera d'rabba. Perhaps one does not have to assume that this Rabbi Kiveger is against the chiddush and Tosus and Sukkah. That sometimes yes, sometimes no. It really depends on the nature of the din drabanan. See, if you look as an example, the Minchas Chinuch is found in the very beginning of Shabbos, in the mitzvah of Kiddush, in mitzvah Lamed Aleph. The Minchas Chinuch quotes the Prima Gadim. The Prima Gadim discusses this in the Psicha Koleles. When you have, for example, a mitzvah daraisa, and the Chachamim add to that mitzvah daraisa, for example, Kiddush. Kiddush daraisa rover shonim assume is Kiddush bidvarim. Zachar is Yom HaShabbos Nakadsha, the Gemara Brachos and Davchav, in Shavuos and Davchav, that there's a mitzvah daraisa of Kiddush, but Kiddush is fulfilled bidvarim. And midrabanan, as you know, Zachrehu al hayayin. And what happens if a person makes Kiddush which is not al hayayin, without, for example, a kosher bracha? He hasn't fulfilled the mitzvah derabanan of Zachrehu al hayayin, but would you go as far as to assume that without the condition derabanan, there's no kiyum on a level of daraisa? This is what the Minchas Chinuch suggests at the very beginning of mitzvah Lamed Aleph in the name of the Prima Gadim. And in that context, Prima Gadim cites the Tosus and Sukkah and Af Gimel of Lo Kiyamta Mitzvah Sukkah Miyamecha. L'chora, that's a very difficult Prima Gadim. The extension of Prima Gadim, Kiddush Al Hayayin, from the case of Tosus. Because Pashut Pshat as follows. In all of these cases, you have to ask yourself, what is it exactly that the Chachamim were doing with their Takana or their Gzeira Drabanan? Offhand, I would tell you certainly the following. The whole issue Rabbi Kiveger discusses and the whole issue of Tosus is only when it comes to Gzeiras, not when it comes to Takanas. When it comes to a gzer, when the Chachamim forbid, in such a case, maybe then one could argue that the fact that this is forbidden, that uproots its status on a level of daraisa. When it comes to other cases where the Chachamim are not creating any isser at all, the Chachamim are not forbidding any practice, but rather embellishing. Through a takana d'rabbanan, the Chachamim are adding to, that's a very great kiddush to assume that their intent was to uproot a mitzvah daraisa. The Chachamim are forbidding Kiddush bedvarim in addition to Zechira Shabbos bedvarim. The Chachamim enhance Kiddush al Hayayin. Where do you see that an enhancement, right, is considered to be critical on that level of daraisa? It's a very great assumption. The Prima Gadim maintains that what is true of Gzeiros Drabanan should apply when it comes to Takanos as well. I would suggest when it comes to Kiddush, less mandapalik, everyone would agree that there's a key mitzvah darais of Zechira Shabbos v'dvarim. If one fails to mekadesh the yom al hayayin, the issue is Nachamim say no, the Chachamim create Gzeiros Drabanan. That really is the case. There do they uproot or do they not? When it comes, let's say, to a Gzeira, I would say in the simplest terms, the Chachamim say, we do not want you to do this. We do not want you to sit in Sukkah with Shulchan HaBasoch HaBayis. We do not want you to go ahead and be Tokei B'Shofar Rosh Hashanah Shchalios B'Shabbos. When the Chachamim say no, perhaps one could raise the issue, what now is the status on a level of Daraisa? Maybe they redefine. However, when the Chachamim do not say no, the Chachamim simply are adding to, you will enhance Kiddush if it's B'Makom Suda. Kiddush is enhanced if it's Al Hayayin. Mehechatei see that a failure to enhance, right, is a case where the Chachamim would say that there's no kiyum daraisa. Who says the Chachamim had all intended to mafkia the mitzvah of Zechira Shabbos daraisa simply because they maintained that we should enhance the Kiddush, lend chashivos to the Kiddush by doing so, but makom suda doing so al hayayin. That prima gadim in cheskinach is a very great Kiddush. No, so Kiddush al hayayin is not a gzeira. Kiddush al hayayin is a takanid rabbanan zarchel hayayin. The fact that Shemi Moshech HaShachan or Shemi Arvienu, so that's a siyog, that's a gzeirah d'rabbanon, there you can argue they uproot. And even in that case, one could suggest a very basic distinction. If you look in Mikrei Kodesh, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, he points out this distinction between Tosfos and Rabbi Kiveger. That what did the Chachamim do when it comes to Yeshiva Sukkah? There they redefined the mitzvahs yeshiva. That even though midaraisa, this is called Yeshiva B'Sukkah, midrabanan, one of the requirements of Yeshiva is Shulchan B'Soch HaBayis. When it comes to the case of Tkiya Shofar, there you don't find the Chachamim are defining the Kol Shofar, the Tkiya Shofar. Here the Chachamim too created Isser Drabanan, but certainly the Isser Drabanan of a Gzeira of Shemi Avirenu did not impact on the structure, the nature of the mitzvah, but rather as a secondary Gzeira. We're simply afraid that A would lead to B. In that particular case, Pashut Rabbi Kiveger maintained, not against Tosfos, when the Chachamim declared that this is an insufficient yeshiva, yeshiva is not merely defined by Rosh of Ruba, but also by Shulchano, then you could argue that that Midrabanan is not called Yeshiva B'Sukkah. Here the Chachamim did not say that this is not called a Kol Shel Shofar. The Chachamim just simply expressed the concern of Shemei Ravi Renu. Ravi Kiveger maintains, in that particular case, Midrabanan, you violated an Isser, but nonetheless, there is considered to be a Kiyum Mitzvah on a level of Daraisa. And I'll bring you a fascinating Raya to support the Shita of Ravi Kiveger. This is a Rambam. The Rambam is found in Hilchos Shgagos and Perek Beis, Halacha Ches, and Halacha Yud. In Hilchos Shgagos, the Rambam deals with the concept of Toeh B'Dvar Mitzvah. Normally speaking, if a person is attempting to perform a mitzvah, and in the course of doing so, he violates Nisa Daraisa, or B'Meizah there's Kareis, and B'Shogig there's Achatos, if he was Toeh B'Dvar Mitzvah, he's Potter Min HaKorban. Potter Min HaKorban. So the Rambam tells us the detail as follows. There's a critical question. When do we assume that Toeh B'Dvar Mitzvah is Potter Min HaKorban? That's if it's Toeh B'Dvar Mitzvah, Va'asa Mitzvah, if he ends up doing the mitzvah. If it was a case of tab of mitzvah, lo asa mitzvah, in such a case, he's chayiv a carbon. The Ram, for example, gives you this case. Let's assume, for example, two babies are born. One baby was born on Shabbos, another baby was born, let's assume, on a Friday or a Sunday. And the mole makes a tragic error. He confuses the babies, and he does the wrong bris. He did the bris milah on Shabbos that was not day 8, the baby was born on the earlier Shabbos, but rather it was the Friday or a Sunday case. And that instance, obviously, was benap b'mezid, it's b'shogeg, but is the mole chayiv a karban chatas for that chilush abis. So the Rambam distinguishes. What was the confusion? When was that baby born? Was it born on Friday or was it born on Sunday? If it was a Friday baby, so in such a case, that's tabid var mitzvah, but va'asa mitzvah. The milah was done on day 9, on Shabbos, as a milah ksheira. In that case of tabid var mitzvah, va'asa mitzvah, he's potter min hakarban. If the mistake was he confused a Shabbos baby with a Sunday baby, in such a case he did the bris milah on day 7, that is tabid var mitzvah, va'asa mitzvah, in such a case the mole is chayiv. So the Rambam writes, if a person in the pursuit of doing a mitzvah, b'shogeg, violates an iser, sheish bo kares, if he fulfills the mitzvah, he's potter min achatas, if he did not, then he's chayiv achatas. So if you look in Halacha Yud, the Rambam gives you this case. What happens if hotzi asalulav, b'yom rishon shechag shechalios b'shabbos? The Rambam adds that to the list. It's sukkah shechalios b'shabbos, and a person, right, was no till the dalit minim, and by doing so, he was maver daramas b'shus rabin. The Rambam writes, he's potter min achatas. The Rambam writes, that's called tov b'dvar mitzvah, va'asa mitzvah. That's called tov b'dvar mitzvah, va'asa mitzvah. Poshub shatnet Rambam, like Rabbi Kveger, that the gzer of shema yaver daramas b'shus rabin does not uproot the ki mitzvah daraisa. It's tov b'dvar mitzvah, va'asa mitzvah. Right, the mitzvah is fulfilled. There is chilul Shabbos daraisa in that particular case, but a person is potter. Menachatos, poshub shat that distinction. That sometimes the chachamim could uproot if that was their intent, but if they're creating an ancillary yisid rabbanon, as they do when it comes to tkiyah shofar, in such a case, Rabbi Kveger writes, the kiyah mitzvah daraisa remains intact, even though the person violates an iser drabbanon. Once you assume that the fact that we are not tokeh b'shofar and Rosh Hashanah shechalios b'shabbos is only a gzeirah d'rabbanan. As mentioned, we're left then with the question of the Gemara initially, how do you account for the two psukim of Yom Teruah and Zichron Teruah? If you assume that midaraisa there is no tokeh b'shofar, I understand. But once you assume that midaraisa Rosh Hashanah is categorically a Yom Teruah, and the fact that we're not tokeh b'shofar is only a din d'rabbanan, so how do you account for Zichron Teruah? Why does the Torah use two different psukim? Zichron Teruah, Yom Teruah, why in fact would that be the case? How do you account for that pasuk in Parshas Emor? Rav Soloveitchik suggested the following beer. That often we distinguish between Maisa HaMitzvah and Kiyum HaMitzvah. And when it comes to most mitzvos, the Maisa HaMitzvah and the Kiyum HaMitzvah are one. They go hand in hand. When it comes to the mitzvah of matzah, for example, if I were to ask you, what is the fulfillment of the mitzvah Berav Tov L'Matzos? The answer is the Maisa HaMitzvah. Through the act of eating, right, one fulfills that particular mitzvah. But sometimes you could find basis to distinguish between a Maisa HaMitzvah and a Kiyum HaMitzvah. In other words, where it's true that the Torah insists on a certain prescribed act, but yet perhaps that is to elicit, right, a certain response. And perhaps there's a distinction between Maisa HaMitzvah as opposed to elements of a Kiyum HaMitzvah. When it comes, for example, to a mitzvah of simcha, v'samachta b'chagecha, no doubt there is a Maisa HaMitzvah, right? The Gemara describes what the Rambam writes in Perek Vav Hilchos Yontif, b'zman shebeis hamikdash kayam, hakravas hakarbanos, right? That's what you find in the Parsha Satochecha, the Torah tells us, v'zavachta shlomim v'achalta shom, v'samach lifnei Hashem Elokecha, that midaraisa we offer karbanos. The Rambam writes, b'zman shein beis hamikdash kayam, so shar mini smachos. The Rambam includes that as a din daraisa as well of simcha. But certainly a person will go through those acts of achilas kodshim, as the Rambam writes in simcha labasar v'yayin, but the kiyum of simcha, right, Rosh Levitchik would often comment, is a kiyum shebelev. there necessarily is a Maisa HaMitzvah. The purpose of the Maisa HaMitzvah, of being Bifnei Hashem, Achilas Kodshim, the Rambam writes, Bizman Hazeh, Basar V'Yayin, is in order to elicit, right, a certain response. Notice the Beit Shuk would often comment the same issue when it comes to tefillah. No doubt that there is a Maisa HaMitzvah of tefillah, but the Kiyam HaMitzvah is Amidu Lifnei Hashchina. Or Kriyashma, there is a Maisa HaMitzvah of the Kriyas HaParsha, but the Kiyam HaMitzvah is Kabbalah Samalchus Shamayim. Mishnah says in Sanhedrin Daf Mem Vav, there's a Maisa HaMitzvah of Avelus, but the Mishnah tells us, Ein Aninus Ela Belev. The real Kiyum HaMitzvah of Aninus and Avelus is the anguish that the Avel feels. Sometimes it's true that there is a necessary Maisa HaMitzvah, but yet the Maisa HaMitzvah is not synonymous with the Kiyum HaMitzvah, as it is when it comes to Achilas Matzah, but rather perhaps one in fact could distinguish. You know, so the Maitrik pointed out that what about when it comes to the mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar? So on one level, it's no doubt, Tkiyah Shofar, there is a Maisa HaMitzvah. We'll discuss the Tkiyah Shofar, the Shmiya Sakol, as a Maisa HaMitzvah. But that is not, right, the entire nature of the mitzvah of Shofar. That is Yom Teruah. Why is it that the Torah stresses the element of Zichron Teruah, the remembrance of Teruah, the significance, the meaning of the Kol Shofar? Right? Because that is part of the Kiyum Shebelev. In other words, it's similar to Tefillah, that there is a Maisa Mitzvah, but there is a Kiyum of Avodah Shebelev that is also true. Rav Soloveitchik suggested, when it comes to Tkiyah Shofar, two different Kiyumim, not two different Zmanim, but two different Kiyumim of Shofar, that of Yom Teruah, and that of Zichron Teruah, and both are considered to be that which is critical. Rav Soloveitchik suggested that perhaps this is helpful to resolve the apparent difficulty in the Rambam Shiti. You know, the Gemara debates whether mitzvos tzrichos or mitzvos ein tzrichos kavana, right? One of the primary sugyas in Rosh Hashanah and Daf Chav Ches. Ideally, of course, kavana is absolutely necessary, but b'dieved, right? If a person performs the mitzvah b'li kavana, is he yotzei? Is he not yotzei? Machlokas Rabbi Rab Zera, machlokas Rishonim, the Mechaber writes in Simen Samach, Hilchos Kriyashma, that mitzvos tzrichos kavana. What is the psak of the Rambam when it comes to mitzvos tzrichos kavana? So you know you find the following stira in the Rambam. In Perek Vav of Hilchos Chametz Matzah, the Rambam writes, Kafu v'ocha matzah yatzah. If a person forces you to eat matzah and you eat matzah without doing so for the purpose of fulfilling the mitzvah Hashem, the Rambam writes that nonetheless you are considered to be yotzei. And yet, the Rambam writes in Perek Beis of Hilchos Shofar, that's not true when it comes to Tkiyah Shofar. Tkiyah Shofar requires, right, Kavanas HaLev. You require Kavanas HaShomea, Kavanas HaMashmia. That's what the Magid Mishnah is bothered. How do you resolve that apparent difficulty? Why is it that the Rambam assumes that Shofar requires Kavana and Matz, in fact, does not? The Magid Mishnah suggests an interesting Kiddush, and that is that when is it that the Rambam maintains that mitzvos ein srichos kavana, when there is a defined maisa hamitzvah, like a mitzvah sahila? There is a prescribed maisa hamitzvah, and as such, then we assume that mitzvos ein srichos kavana. What about when it comes to shofar? Here the Magid Mishnah writes, maybe this is the Rambam l'shitase, that the mitzvah of shofar is not a mitzvah stkia, but as the Rambam writes, it's a mitzvah of shmiya sakol. Shmiya sakol, you don't have an absolute maisa mitzvah bekum vesei as you do when it comes to achilas matzah, and that's what the Magid Mishnah suggests to resolve the stira in the Rambam. When there is a maisa hamitzvah ktsuva in such a case, mitzvos ein srichos kavana, shmiya is more nebulous in such a case, then kavana is considered to be that which is critical. Rabbi Yonah in the Sugin Brachos and Daf Yud Beis, not an identical, but a similar distinction. Rabbi Yonah writes, when you have a Maisa HaMitzvah, then you can assume mitzvos ein tzrichos kavana. But Rabbi Yonah writes, when you have mitzvos that are even tlios bedibur, even bedibur, like bracha, then everyone agrees that mitzvos tzrichos kavana. That's the chiddush that Rabbi Yonah writes in that sugya. Brachos nafid beis. The Gemara discusses a case where a person began a bracha thinking A, he concluded a bracha thinking B. Is he yotzei or is he not yotzei? Rabbi Yonah writes, shouldn't that depend on mitzvos srichos or mitzvos ein srichos kavana? Rabbi Yonah writes that no, mitzvos hatlios bedibur. Of course they require kavana. Dibur without kavana, that certainly is necessary. When you have achila, you can discuss achila beli kavana. But shmiya beli kavana or dibur without kavana, in such a case, than mitzvos srichos kavana. Rav Soloveitchik suggested that perhaps this can be an indicator, right, of this distinction. In matzah, you understand very well that mitzvos ain't srichos kavana, because the maisa mitzvah, the kiyum ha-mitzvah, are inseparable. And therefore, if the maisa mitzvah is performed in mitzvos ain't srichos kavana, in dealing with a case, for example, of shofar, if the Torah would only insist on Yom Teruah, then good, then mitzvah saint srichas kavana. But the Torah insists in emor on zichron teruah. Zichron teruah. That's an inherent kiyum. That is vital to the fulfillment of the mitzvah shofar. And therefore, if a person happens to hear the kol, but does not associate that with a kol shel mitzvah, can one argue that is considered to be zichron teruah, the impression, the remembrance, the significance of the kol shofar? Certainly not. In other words, when it comes to those mitzvos where the kiyum is belev, in such an instance, then kavanah is necessary. As Reb Chaim points out, for example, in Perek Yudef Hilchos Tefillah, tefillah beli kavanah. Right? Reb Chaim writes that it's not called tefillah. There's certain mitzvos by their very essence that kavanah is considered to be an inherent part of the mitzvah itself. And therefore, Reb Chaim suggests that the kavanah which is necessary in tefillah is not just simply mitzvos tzrichos kavanah, but the very nature of the mitzvah of tefillah that requires, right, kavanah salev. That's what tefillah is. Avodah shebelev. How is it avodah shebelev without any type of kavanah salev? Rav Soloveitchik went a step further and suggested the following, that the mitzvah of shofar is not just simply maisa ha-mitzvah, comparable to achilas matzah, but part of the kiyum of shofar is part of that avodah shebelev. In other words, that the mitzvah of shofar is part of the tefillah sayom. It is not just simply a mitzvah, just simply to hear the kol shofar, to sound the shofar. Isn't it somewhat unusual that we incorporate tkiyah shofar with shmoneh esrei? Unusual for us in the middle of musaf to eat matzah, but all of a sudden in the middle of shmoneh esrei, right, to have the kol shofar, that indicates that kol shofar is considered to be part of the tefillah sayom. It is not just simply a mitzvah kiyah, but rather is considered to be part of the avodah shebelev of yom hazikaron. And that is a function of that pasuk of zichron teruah, of zichron teruah. And therefore we incorporate the tkiyos al seder habrachos, indicating that it's part of the kiyum of avodah shebelev, part of the kiyum of tefillah as well. Could very well be that this is also true, a separate shir of Dalet Minim. That Dalet Minim is not just simply a mitzvah netila, midag beinafik bei, just to take the Dalet Minim, but there is part of an element of a kiyum tefillah of ritzui in Dalet Minim as well, as evident in terms of nanuim and halel and hoshanos, that perhaps that is part of et kiyum. And therefore, that is considered to be an inherent part of the mitzvah lulav as well. But when it comes to shofar, we incorporate that into the tefillah, all stemming from that kiyum of zichron teruah. There's a fascinating chiddush of the Balamor. The Gemara distinguishes in Rosh Hashanah Daf Tezayin between two sets of tkiyos. The tkiyos demiyusha followed by the tkiyos demiyumad. And we normally assume that the Gemara is referring to the following. The tkiyos demiyusha are the first kolos that are heard after Kriya Satora. And the tkiyos demiyumad are the tkiyos shofar, which are al seder habrachos. Miyushav, because those tkiyos are not within the framework of Ishmon Esrei. And the tkiyos demiyumad, in such a case, that is referring to the later tkiyos. The Balamor and Afyud and Dapi Harif disagrees and maintains the following chiddush. That is not the reference at all to tkiyos demiyushav and tkiyos demiyumad. The first tkiyos that the Gemara refers to, of tkiyos demiyushav, that the Balamor writes is referring to the tkiyos that are al seder habrachos. Al seder habrachos. And the tkiyos demiyuma that the Gemara refers to, those are the tkiyos at the very end of davening. After the Shmon Esrei is over, people are now mu'umad. They're getting up to leave. The davening has concluded. So therefore, those are the tkiyos demiyumad. That's the chiddush of the Balamor. And what about the tkiyos that you have prior to Shmon Esrei? The Balamor writes that those tkiyos did not exist at Medina de Gemara. That was a later takana. Why was there a need for a later takana? Balamor explains very simply. People would come to shul very early, right, the very beginning of davening. It was necessary to hear shofar, but the first kolos they would hear was Shmoneh Esrei of Musaf. One could be in shul for hours and not hear the kol shofar at all. And there were many individuals who were elderly, who were sickly, who would have to leave shul early. They wouldn't hear any kolos whatsoever. So the Balamor writes the following chiddush, that there was a later takana, not the reference of the Gemara, but a later takana, to have earlier kolos to accommodate those who could not stay for the real tkios demiyushav, and then the tkios demiyumad. And that's the chiddush of the Balamor. Tkios demiyushav, or else seder habrachos, tkios demiyumad at the very conclusion of davening, the tkios that we have after laning, that is not at all midina de Gemara. That's the chiddush of Balamor. Then the Balamor goes a step further. You know, there is a critical machlokas Rishonim. What is the nusach habracha when it comes to tkiya shofar? Is it lishmoa kol shofar, or is Rabbi Natam, is it either litkoa or al tkiya shofar? You know, it's a fundamental machlokas Rishonim, because it's very striking that the Gemara never mentions the bracha of tkiya shofar at all. Machlokas Rishonim, what the nusach habracha is. So it is surprising, right? In all the sugyas, in Pesachim and Av Zayin, and the sugyas in Daf Lamed Gimel, and Daf Lamed Daled and Rosh Hashanah, when the Gemara is discussing shofar and brachos, the Gemara never alludes to a bracha on the mitzvah of tkiya shofar. And in fact, the machlokas, Rishonim and Gonim, what really the nusach habracha should be. So the Balamor writes very simply, you know why this was so elusive? Because midina de Gemara, there was no bracha on the mitzvah of tkiya shofar. Midina de Gemara, the first time they would sound the shofar was in Shmoneh Esrei, al seder habrachos. And the Balamor writes that the brachos of the Shmoneh Esrei, the malchus, sichronos, and shofros, served as the birchas hamitzvah for the mitzvah of tkiya shofar. That's the chiddush of Balamor. Now you have a later takana, post HaTalmud, that you have to have an earlier tkiya shofar. So that was a twofold change. Number one, an earlier tkiya. Number two, now you have to institute some type of bracha, because now you are sounding the shofar outside of the misgeres hatfila, and that requires a bracha. Moshe Lema Devar Domer, Rav Amram Gon writes, this is what the Rosh quotes in the very beginning of Maseches Brachos, that mikar hadin, the birchos kriyashma, serve as a form of birchos hamitzvah for the mitzvah of Kriyashma. Therefore, Rav Amram Gon writes that if for whatever reason you are reciting Kriyashma outside of its framework, out of Birchas Kriyashma, you have to recite a Birchas HaMitzvah on the mitzvah of Kriyashma. That's the view of Rav Amram Gon. You recited Kriyashma too early, you're reciting it early because davening is too late. In such a case, from the Rosh quotes Rav Amram Gon, you have to recite a Birchas HaMitzvah. You don't do that routinely because that is the purpose of Birchos Kriyashma. But whenever a mitzvah is performed, shelo b'miskeres habrachos, in such a case, now a new bracha is in fact required. Right, that's a chiddush of Rav Amram Gon when it comes to Kriyashma, but the Balamor writes that is the case when it comes to tkiya shofar. So it's a fascinating possibility. What the Balamor suggests, that the malchus, sichronos, and shofros serve as the birchas hamitzvah for the mitzvah of tkiya shofar. That certainly demonstrates the inherent link between the tefillah sayon and the mitzvah shofar, ad kedei kach, that the brachos of the Shmoneh Esrei, right, serve as brachos in the mitzvah of shofar. And the only reason we recite additional brachos is because we are blowing outside of that particular structure. It's an interesting chiddush. No, but it indicates, right, that possibility, that link, that Rav Soloveitchik pointed out is all a function of zichron trua. Yom trua, not necessarily. That is the maisa mitzvah tkiya, the kiyam hamitzvah of shmiyas hakol, but zichron shrua indicates, right, that link, the impression, the remembrance, the significance as part of the avoda shebelev. In fact, the Gemara writes in Rosh Hashanah Chavav Mabez that the shape of the shofar should be kavuf. You don't have a keren that is poshut, that is straight, but it's necessary that it has to be curled. Why exactly is that true? The Lashon HaGemara Chavav Mabez is koma de kaif inish date ma'alei tvei. The more effective, it is preferable, right, for a person to be bent. And that is what the shofar represents, a person whose posture is bent. Rashi writes very simply, what does that mean? Bitfilasa. When a person davens, a person doesn't daven bekoma zakufa, a person davens with a bent posture. Right? Rashi writes, the shape of the shofar is supposed to replicate, it's supposed to mimic, right, a person who is engaged in tefillah. That is part of that kiyum of zichron shuah. And then Rav Soloveitchik pointed to the Gemara on the previous amud, the Chavav amud Aleph, where the Gemara tells us the following. Many different types of shofros can be used for the mitzvah. However, one should not use a keren shelpara. One should not use the horn of the egel for the mitzvah of shofar. Why exactly is that true? That's an application of the Gemara of Ein Kategor, Nasa Senegor. It's as though that will be reminiscent of the Egel Hazav, and therefore certainly we are not in the context of shofar to do anything that is reminiscent of that tragic fate, Ein Kategor, Nasa Senegor. The Gemara compares it to the Kohen Gadol, going lifnai v'lifnim, not with big day Zav, reminiscent of the Egel Hazav, but rather with big day Lavan. So the Gemara asks a very basic question. When is that true? In kategor nasa senegor. The Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur never wears big day Zahav. No, certainly not. The Kohen Gadol doesn't go lifnai v'lifnim in the Kodesh HaKadoshim with big day Zahav. But Avoda, which is not lifnai v'lifnim, that is not bound by in kategor nasa senegor. So the Gemara asks the Kasha, when it comes to Tzkiya Shofar, which is not comparable to Avoda, which is Lifnai V'Lifnim, why should there be that halacha of Ein Kategor, Nasa Senegor? And the Gemara answers as follows, Kevan DeLezikaron Asi K'Lifnim Dami. That's the Lashon HaGemara. That since the Shofar is Lezikaron, therefore Lifnim. Tzkiya Shofar is comparable to Avoda lifnai v'lifnim. And why is that true? Kevan de lezikaron asi. Because of zikaron, of zichron shuah. Rav Soloveitchik explained exactly that chiddush. If all would be as a maisa ha-mitzvah, so it would not be bound by in kategor nasa senegar, but it's zikaron asi. It's part of the kiyum of avodah shebelev, part of the tefillah sayom. The Gemara in Brachos Daf Lamed Gimel, tefillah is always mechuvin keneged the avodas kohen gadol in kodesh hakadoshim, the makam of Hashras Hashchina. And therefore, because of that element of shofar, then we apply that principle of Ein Kategor, Nasa Senegar. The mitzvah of Tkiyah Begvulin is comparable to Avos Kohen Gadol Lifnai V'Lifnim, and how this is true? Kevan de Zikaron Asi, because of that element of Zikaron, that pasuk of Zichron Trua. You know, perhaps the same can apply even regarding the principle of Mitzvah haba b'aveira. The Rishonim debate regarding which mitzvahs do we apply the concept of mitzvah haba b'aveira. The Mishnah tells us in Sukkah Chavtes, a lulav hagazel, right? One would not be yotze, not merely because of lachem. One would not be yotze even on shar yamin because of mitzvah haba b'aveira. The Gemara says the same is true when it comes to a karban. That one would not be yotze with a stolen karban. In such an instance, mitzvah haba be'aveira, ve'vesem gozel, ve'sa pisech, ve'sa choma. So Tosus is bothered in Sukkah and Daftes that one is not yotzei the mitzvah of Sukkah with the Sukkah gzula. And how do you know that that's true? The Gemara in Sukkah and Daftes quotes a pasuk, chaka sukkos tasa lecha, lecha lehotzi es hagzula. So Tosus is bothered, why do you need a pasuk, a gzera sakasa when it comes to Sukkah? What is wrong, right, with mitzvah babi avera? If you have halacha b'chalot harakula, then you cannot be yotzei with shel gezel, why do you need a specific pasuk when it comes to the mitzvah of sukkah? That is Tosus's kasha. Tosus writes, difficult teretz in Sukkah and Daftes, that apparently you see from this that mitzvah babi avera is only derabanan, only derabanan. When it comes to sukkah, you can't be yotzei midaraisa with a sukkah gzula. The application of mitzvah, babi avera, that's only a psul derabanan, a great chiddush of Tosus. In fact, Tosus later, in Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, in Sukkah, is clearly against this, maintaining that mitzvah, babi avera, is a din daraisa. It's not just simply a psul on a level of derabanan, but that's Tosus' pressing kasha, that if mitzvah, babi avera, is daraisa, so why do you need a gzeres akosav that you're not yotzei when it comes to a sukkah gzula? There are many different possibilities in Rishonim and Achronim to address this kasha of Tosus. But if you look in the Ritva, And that sugya in Sukkah and Daftes, the Ritva quotes the name of the Balei HaTosfos. We don't have this in Tosfos, but the Ritva cites this, that mitzvah Babi Avera does not apply to all mitzvahs. It only applies to mitzvahs Habayim L'Ratzos. It only becomes to a mitzvah where there is Ritzui. A person is attempting Ratzon Lifnei Hashem. A person is trying to secure a measure of kapara, a mitzvah which is L'Ratzon Lifnei Hashem. And a person attempts to attain Ritzui through the vehicle of Avera, that is a mitzvah Habayim L'Avera. But unless you can characterize the mitzvah as a mitzvah which is bal ratzos, in such a case, there's no psul of mitzvah babi avera. So therefore, the Ritva quotes of Balei HaTosfos, carbon, mitzvah babi avera. Carbon is l'ratzon lifnei Hashem. That's mitzvah babi avera. It ties in with the earlier ha'ara, dalid minim, a lulav ha'gozel. Apparently, you see that dalid minim is not just merely mida'ag be'nafek be'a mitzvah snetila, but David Minim is part of L'Ratzon Lifnei Hashem. We incorporate that into our tefillah as well. The Yerushalmi writes that you can't use a Lulav Hayavesh. What's wrong with Lulav Hayavesh? The Yerushalmi quotes the pasuk Lo Hamesi Mihaluka. You can't praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a dead branch. No, the purpose of David Minim is Lo Hamesi Mihaluka, L'Ratzon Lifnei Hashem. The Balamor quotes HaKriveyan Olafecha Secha. Would you offer this as a karban? You have to offer your best as a karban, right? You're going to take lulav hayavesh, right? The application of those psukim, lameisi mehaluka, hakriven lefecha secha, all point to the element of ritzui, which is necessary when it comes to the mitzvah of dalet minim. And that's where you can have a psul of mitzvah babi avera. When it comes to sukkah, achidish the Balei HaTosfos writes, sukkah is a mitzvah sishiva. And therefore, we would not apply the concept of mitzvah habavi avera, and that's why it's necessary to have a separate gzeras hakosav l'hosi yasagazel. That's the chiddush of the Balei HaTosfos. A fascinating possibility. Not all averos, or not all mitzvos, are included in the principle of mitzvah habavi avera. It only applies in cases which are ba'in l'ratzos. What about when it comes to shofar? Is there a psul of mitzvah habavi avera, shofar hagazel? This is not discussed in Bavli, but you find it in the Yerushalmi, right? The Shofar HaGozel. The Yerushalmi has two deos as to why your Yotzei, it's Machlokas Rambam Ravid. Yerushalmi writes the following Chiddush. Your Yotzei with the Shofar HaGozel. Why are you Yotzei? Yerushalmi writes two things. Either Yerushalmi writes, and this is what the Rambam cites in Perek Aleph of Hilchos Shofar, because Ein Bekol Din Gezel. Ein Bekol Din Gezel. Interesting Kiddush. Right, Yerushalmi maintains in order to have a mitzvah babi avera, the Cheftes Shel Mitzvah has to be labeled as Shel Avera. The Cheftes Shel Mitzvah has to be labeled as Shel Avera. If that would not be the case, then we would not have a mitzvah babi avera. When I steal the lulav, it's not just simply I violated an isser of gezel, right? But the shem gezel is chal b'oso hachefza, right? The lulav is labeled as shel gezel. The Rambam writes the lulav asher is labeled shel isser. That the Rambam calls a mitzvah haba be'avera. And what if that would not be the case? What if you would not have a shem avera b'oso hachefza? I'll give you two examples, both in Yerushalmi. One example in Yerushalmi is the following: the sugya in Shabbos and Daf Kuvav. Now, a person, Rachman Litzlan, hears that the Karov has died, and he's Korea Ameso B'Shabbos. He rips Kri on Shabbos. There, the Gemara writes in Daf Kuvav Beis and Kuvav Med Aleph that Afal Pi Shemachas Shabbos Yatzi De Kriya. Even though that's an act of Chilo Shabbos, you fulfill the mitzvah of Kriya. The Yerushalmi asks that kasha, and that's sugya Daf Kuvav Beis and Shabbos. What do you mean? Isn't that a case of mitzvah babi avera? Mai shnami matzah gzula? That's the kash of the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi answers as follows. No, when it comes to matzah gzula, taman gufa isura. The matzah which is stolen is shel iser. Yerushalmi writes, when it comes to chiloshabis bramhacha, hu da avid isura. Fascinating Yerushalmi. Matzah gzula, the matzah shel geza. A person rips kriya on Shabbos. Hu David Yisrael. Your Shabbos is mefurish. Now chilu Shabbos is nisr gavra. Midaraisa, the chilu Shabbos does not relate to the chefza shel. You wouldn't say that that rip is illicit. Someone steals, that is stolen property. Someone worships, that's a chefza shel of avodah zarah. One is mechalo Shabbos, the Shamirites bram hacha hu da avod yisura. And in such a case, that's not called a mitzvah babi aveira. The aveira does not relate to the chefza shel mitzvah. The aveira is a pure iser gavra. That's one Yerushalmi. And the other Yerushalmi is here when it comes to shofar. Yerushalmi is mefurish, that the mitzvah of shofar is a mitzvah of shmias hakol. Shmias hakol. And the Yerushalmi writes, this is what the Rambam quotes in Perek Aleph of Hilchos Shofar, that ein bekol din gezel. You steal the shofar and you sound the shofar, the kol, that is a stolen sound. Yerushalmi writes that no, ein bekol din gezel. The avera of gezel does not relate inherently to the cheftis shal mitzvah, which is the kol, the shmias hakol, and therefore ein bekol din gezel. That's the Chiddush that the Yerushalmi writes. In the second day in Yerushalmi is a pasuk. You know why? When it's Yotzei with the shofar agazal, Yom Tshua Yilechem Mikol Makom. In other words, the Yerushalmi suggests the following, that one would have, the starting point would be that one would not be Yotzei with the shofar agazal. And the fact that the Yerushalmi maintains the maskana that you are, that has to be justified. Why is that true? In two possibilities in Yerushalmi, either Imba called in Gezel or Gzera Sakosov, but in principle, Mitzvah Habab Yaver applies to the Mitzvah of Shofar as well. In other words, the Shofar, according to Tosos, would be characterized as a Mitzvah which is Balaratzos, a Mitzvah Sheesh Baritzoi. And therefore, if you're going to tell me that you're Yotze with the Shofar HaGozel, that has to be explained. Yerushalmi writes that's exceptional. Gzera Sakosov. It is a mitzvah, which is Balar Atzos. That posh of shat is because of the element of Zichron Trua, Tukiyumim, when it comes to shofar. There is the Maisa HaMitzvah of the Tkiya Shofar, the Shmias HaKol. And then there is that element of Zichron Trua as well. Rastaichik pointed out the following difficulty. The Gemara writes, in the very end of Rosh Hashanah, Flamadalim Abeis, let's assume, for example, a person has to choose. There are two communities, right? One community has a shofar, a bal tokeya. The other community, right, has a bal tefillin, a machzer. Right? I'll go to community A, I'll hear the kolos of the shofar. I'll go to community B, in such a case, I'll hear the malchis, zichronos, and shofros, but I won't hear, right, the kol shofar. So which is preferable? The Gemara is explicit. That go to the community that has the shofar. After all, shofar is deraisa. Malchus Zecharas and Shofros is only Drabon. Before Shin the Gemara. The Gemara says, obviously, if you have a choice, the shofar. The Gemara says a further Chiddush. Right? One city may have a shofar, but I'm not sure. It is better to opt for the Safek deraisa, even at the expense of the Vadai Drabon. That's the Gemara. But explicit in the Gemara, shofar is a din deraisa. And the Malchus Zecharas and Shofros, that's only Derabanan. Rastaichik was very bothered. Because if you look in Rashi in that Pasuk in Emor, in Vikra Chav Gimel, Zichron Trua. You know what Rashi writes in the Pasuk of Zichron Trua? Zichronos for Shofros. Tfila. Zichronos and Shofros. It doesn't sound from Rashi that Malchi as Zichronos and Shofros is only a Din Derabanan. Maybe one could argue that this is just a Remez Ba'alma. But Rashi writes, the meaning of Zichron Trua is the Tefillah Sayom. But isn't it Mefurish in the Gemara that Malchi as Zichronos and Shofros is only Drabanan? The Kol Shofar is that which is Deraisa. So Slavetri just added the following Chiddush as follows. No, Zichron Trua, Malchi as Zichronos and Shofros is Deraisa. That's what Rashi writes is the meaning of that Pasuk of Zichron Trua. What with the following Ha'arah? B'medvar Mamurim. When is that true? That Malchi Yisrchanos and Shofros is Daraisa only when it's accompanied by the Kol Shofar. If you don't have the Kol Shofar, not only is it obvious that you're not fulfilling the mitzvah of Yom Trua, but even the Kiyum of Zichron Trua now is only relegated to a mitzvah drabanan. There isn't an independent mitzvah of malchus, zichronos, and shofaros. It means that the kiyum daraisa of shofar is one of yom trua and zichron trua. And when you have tkiya shofar al seder habrachos, both kiyum are daraisa. B'li shofar, there's no independent kiyum of zichron trua. And that is the significance of the Gemara. You're going to opt for the community that doesn't have the kol shofar. In such a case, in that instance, it's clear that they will not be fulfilling the mitzvah daraisa, neither of Yom Trua nor that of Zichron Trua itself. So in a word, these are the two kiyumim of the mitzvah of shofar. A mitzvah of Yom Trua Yelachem in terms of Maisa mitzvah, but a kiyum shebelev that requires kavana, tkiya shofar al seder habrachos, klifnai v'lifnim, kofuf, the mitzvah babi avera, no independent kiyum of Zichron Trua, the two kiyumim. When it comes to mitzvah shofar, you know the Rambam, that apopi shetkiya shofar b'rosh Hashanah gzeres hakosu, but remez yeshbo, ur yeshenim yeshenaschem, where the Rambam emphasizes there's so much more, a world to shofar, above and beyond the gzeres hakosu, simply of yom tru yelachem. All these other elements, part of the case of Zichron Trua. The Mishnah Rosh Hashanah Daf Lamed Gimel tells us the Seder HaTkiyos. How is it that a person fulfills the mitzvah of shofar? Good. Questions? Good.
Yeah. How does Yom Shua versus Zichron Shua, how do we know which one is the key and which one is the...
Yom Shua seems to emphasize the act, right? A day replete with shofar, right? Zichron speaks about, right, this is literally the zikaron, the remembrance, the significance, the impact of. So then Rav Slaveitchik pointed out, seems to point to the understanding, the kiyum shebelev, not just simply the maisa mitzvah itself. So perhaps that's indicative of, right, the two halachas. The sugi in Rosh Hashanah Daf Lamed Gimel discusses the Seder HaTkiyos, and that's where the Mishnah tells us that Seder HaTkiyos, shalosh shalosh shalosh, that one is obligated based on the drushos of Yovel, to blow a straight sound, a broken sound, a straight sound, to do so for the Malchias, Zichronos, and for the Shofros themselves. And the Mishnah tells us the following, that what exactly is the shear, the length of the Tekiah itself? So the Gemara quotes a Braisa that tells us that the shear Tekiah is considered to be that of a Trua. Poshav Shat, simply, the Gemara and the Braisa seem to indicate that the shear of the tkiya is exactly the same as the shear of a trua. And that, in fact, is the view of Rov Rishonim. The Rambam disagrees. If you look in the Rambam in Hilchos Shofar, Perek Gimel Halacha Dalid, the Rambam, based on the Gemara, suggests differently. That when the Gemara says the shear of the tkiya is equivalent to the shear of the trua, the language of the Gemara is Bechad Bava. Chad Bava means literally a single line. A single line. The Rambam writes, you know what that means? Chad Bava, the following. When you look at a single line of the tkiyos, what do you have? A tkiya lifaneha, and then the broken sound, the Torah calls it trua, and then the tkiya lachareha. In other words, for every line, you will have a single trua and two tkiyos. And that's what the Braisa says, that the shear of the tkiyos are comparable to that of a trua. In other words, according to the Rambam Shita, against Rov Rishonim, a tkiya is half the length of a trua. You will combine the two tkiyos, the tkiya lefaneha and the tkiya lachareha, and that will be the same length as the broken sound in between. So whereas Rashi and Tosas disagree and maintain that is not true, the shear of the tkiya is comparable to that of the trua, the Rambam disagrees and writes that is not true, the shear of the tkiya is one half. According to the Rambam, shita, shorter tkiyos. And what is the shear of the tkiya? Good, it's comparable to a trua. What is the shear of a trua? And here's where the Gemara tells us that the shear of trua is considered to be gimel yavavos. Gimel yavavos. And that is a fundamental machlokas, Rashi and Tosus. What exactly is a yavava? So Rashi writes the following. A yavava is a kol kolduhu, right? The shortest sound. That is a yavava. According to Rashi, a tkiya is three yavavos. According to Rashi Shita, a tkiya is quite short. No? Let's assume, for argument's sake, yavav is a half a second, probably even less than a half a second, but a half a second. So therefore, gimel yavavos, according to Rashi, a shir of a tkiya is a second and a half. And Tosus writes that no, that a yavava is not a single kol kolduhu, but rather a yavava are gimel kolos kolduhu. That's Tosus Shita. A yavava is three different kolos, and therefore, according to the Shita of Tosus, that the length of the tkios are triple what Rashi writes. Whereas according to Rashi Shita, a tkios is considered to be three kolos ba'alma koldu. According to Tosus Shita, they are nine kolos ba'alma kolduhu. Right, the shir of a tkios according to Rashi, right, is 1/3 of the length of tkios according to the view of Tosus. So aside from the machlokas, the Rov Rishonim against the Rambam Shita, even if you assume that the shir tkia is ketru, which is kegimli yavavos, you have fundamental machlokas Rashi and Tosus in terms of what the meaning of a yavava is. So Tosus already points out the following challenge. A person is obligated to blow, let's assume, a straight sound, a broken sound, a straight sound. Tosus centers, for example, around the tashat of blowing a tkia, a shvarim, right, and a tkia. So Tosus is bothered. How are you going to do so? We know that the sound of the tkia, like Rov Rishonim against the Rambam, should be the equivalent to the sound of a shrua, of the broken sound. But you have that machlokas Rashi and Tosus. What exactly is the length? Right? Is it gimel kolos or is it considered to be nine kolos? So what, in fact, should you do? So Tosus writes as follows, that you know you have to be very, very careful, because if you're going to blow, right, longer shvarim and short tkios, Tosus writes that you're not going to be otzi according to anyone. And therefore, Tosus says you have to be careful not to make your shvarim too long and not to make your tkios short. Because after all, if you're going to blow longer shvarim, short tkios, the problem is, according to Tosus, that will not be long enough to be a tkia. And according to Rashi, you didn't blow shvarim, you blew five tkios. You blew tkia, shvarim, tkia. Each one of the shvarim, let's assume, is gimel kolos. According to Rashi Shita, right, you've blown five tkios. You have not blown a tkia, shvarim, and a tkia. So therefore, Tosus points out that one should be very careful. Short shvarim, long tkios, in order to make sure that the tkia, right, is a tkia, and the shvarim are considered to be shvarim. But again, when you read the Hemshech of Tosus, it's difficult to be able to accommodate all these shitas, no? After all, if you're dealing with Rashi as opposed to Rabbeinu Tam and the Riva, and they're arguing about the length of the kolos to such an extent, whether it's this size or three times that size, you have a problem. Let's assume, for example, you're going to blow very long tkios. That will be good according to everyone. According to Rashi, it's certainly a tkia. According to Tosus, Rabbeinu Tam and the Riva, also it's a tkia. What are you going to do when it comes to the shvarim? No, you're going to take this shear of the tkia. Let's assume, according to Tosus, right, it's nine kolos. And you're going to divide it into thirds, and each one of the shvarim will be three kolos. According to Rashi, that already is a tkia. So in such a case, that's a difficulty. How is it that one would be yotze, the mitzvah of tkia shofar, both according to Rashi and according to the shita of Tosus? What we typically do is Tosus or shita. We blow longer tkios, there are nine kochos, and we'll blow shvarim of those nine kochos divided into thirds. And then we'll blow, for example, a tkia, which is lachareha. But realize the difficulty, according to Rashi, you have blown five tkios. Right? The first was long, the second, third, and fourth were shorter, the last one was long, but still al-pidin, all of them are considered to be tkios. So Rostovichik suggested the following possibility. It's clear from Tosus that shvarim should be a minimum of three kolos, but it can be more than three kolos. And therefore, if you're able to do so, if you have a real, right, expert, Baal Tokeya, Rav Soloveitchik suggested the following. Blow more than three shvarim. Blow five shvarim. By doing so, right, you can time it as such that the shear of all the shvarim will be equal to the shear of the tkia. And at the same time, each individual shever, according to Rashi, is still less than that of a tkia. If you will blow, for example, right, each one of the shvarim a second long, so in such a case, you have cases where it is less than a shear of a tkia, both according to Rashi and according to Tosus. Its length in total, let's say, would be 5 seconds long, which is the shear of a true according to Tosus, which is fine, and blow long tkias, which is good, both according to Rashi and according to Tosus as well. And that was the practice of Rav Soloveitchik, to blow five shvarim. In such a case, to be able to say both, according to Rashi and according to the view of Rabbeinu Tam, in terms of that Seder, right? Reb Chaim, right, at one point adopted this Chiddush that Roslovichik suggested, right, of blowing the five Shvarim in order to accommodate both Deis and Tosus, because otherwise, right, either the Tekiyas are too short, or the Shvarim are going to be too long. And that was a possibility, being Yotzei L'Chol HaDeos, in that particular way. The Mishnah Berurah does quote, in Tavkuf Tzadim, in Sivkot Nir Alif, that the Chadchila only to blow three Shvarim, but it is clear from Tosus that one could blow, right, above and beyond, right, the three Shvarim. Rav Slavichik suggested, if one will do so, one could be Yotze both according to Rashi and according to Tosus Shashita as well. In fact, Poshev Shat, you know that there are two different practices in terms of how to blow Shvarim. See, the whole question that Tosus raises, if you blow Shvarim that are too long, they become Tekiyos, seem to point to the following observation, and that is that the only difference between a Tekiya and a Shvarim and a Trua simply is the length of the kol, but not the quality of the kol. In other words, that Shvarim and Trua are short Tekiyos. Short Tekiyos. The Ritva writes explicitly, the Ritva Sfan Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, that a Tekiya has to be a kol poshut. It should not flutter at all. It should be a straight sound, right? That's one of the hardest challenges for the Batal Keah. Just to blow a tekiya that's straight. Now, sometimes, as you know, they flip the kolos in the beginning and the end. The Ritva writes that, no, a kol tekiya has to be a kol poshut. You shouldn't go do like that. It should be straight. And at the end, you shouldn't sign off at the end either. Just a quite simple kol poshut, right? That should be a tekiya. And Poshev Shat and Tosus, where Tosus is bothered by this challenge, how do you blow the correct Shvarim to be Yotzei L'Chol HaDeos? In such a case, you see that Shvarim apparently are called Poshut as well. Because some, as you know, have the practice of blowing Shvarim in a curled fashion, what we call tutuks. Now, not as a straight sound, but as a curled sound. Why are they doing so? Because after all, if that cannot be a tkiya because of the nature of the tone, maybe that can be used to solve Tosus's problem. No? And that is that I will specifically blow Shvarim in a way that it will not qualify to be a tkiya which is explicit has to be a kol poshut, and therefore maybe even if it goes a little bit longer, but still it is not considered to be a tkiya. Again, the question is, that's true, it's not considered to be a tkiya, but is it considered to be Shvarim? Perhaps Shvarim and Shros also have to be the same quality of kol. The difference is only simply in terms of its duration itself. So these are different practices that you'll find of how to blow the Shvarim because of this ha'ara of Tosus. Many are makpid that the Shvarim should be simply a kol poshut, as you find when it comes to the Tekiya, and then right, different ways of being Yotzei, according to Rashi and according to Tosus as well. The Gemara tells us, and Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, that after all, there are many options for a trua. A trua means, as the Gemara quotes, the name of Targum, Yom Yevavi Yehelechon, a day of crying. And how is it that people cry? The Gemara says, Gnuche Gonach, Yiluli Yaliel, one can cry in longer moans or in shorter spurts, and that crying, right, is supposed to represent, right, the Kol Shofar. The Gemara says, and there are three different options. Either it is Gnuche Ganach, that we call Shvarim, a longer sound, or it is Yilul Yalil, a shorter sound, or the Gemara says, maybe it is both. Gnuche Ganach, followed by Yilul Yalil. The Gemara writes, the fourth possibility, a first Yilul Yalil, followed by Gnuche Ganach, first a Trua, then a Shvarim. The Gemara dismisses that. People will not normally cry in that particular fashion, but the Gemara has three possibilities in terms of what the Torah really means by an appropriate kol. What exactly does this mean? And the Gemara comments in Daf Lamed Aleph that Rabbi Avohu, right, instituted the following practice of blowing all of these options, of blowing Gnuche Ganach and Yilul Yalil in each one independently. In other words, of blowing Tekiya Shvarim Shrua Tekiya and a Tekiya Shvarim Tekiya and a Tekiya Shrua Tekiya. What exactly was Rabbi Avohu instituting with this takana to cover all bases? So this is a fundamental machlokas Rishonim as well. It's clear from Tosus that this was a real safek. What exactly does the Torah mean by the kol trua? And this is li'ikuva. If the Torah means shvarim and you blow a trua, you're not going to be yotzei. If the Torah intends on a shvarim and a trua, as what the Torah calls a trua, and you just blow a shvarim or just blow a trua, you're not going to be yotzei. And therefore, mi'ikar hadin, Rabbi Avo said, it is necessary to blow all of these combinations. And the Rishonim, the Rush, and others quote the view of Rav Haigon, who disagrees and maintains that no, that mi'ikar hadin daraisa, any of these options is considered to be sufficient. You would be yotzei the trua with shvarim trua or shvarim or trua. Anyone is considered to be efficient. What Rabbi Avohu did through his takana was just simply uniformity. You'll go to one community and they're blowing shvarim trua. You'll go to another kehila, they're blowing shvarim. A third, they're blowing trua. It looks as though those yiskodadu shtei toros. So therefore, Rabbi Vo said, let every practice be represented in the Tkiah Shofar. And therefore, the purpose of what we do, all the combinations, was simply to represent each minhag, but mikar hadin, one could be yotzei, either with the shvarim trua, or with the shvarim, or with the trua. But a fundamental machlokes regarding this particular issue. Now, even though we assume, like Rabbi Avo, we will blow, for example, in the first set of kolos, 30 kolos to be yotzei with every possible combination, but this issue is still relevant for the following, because as mentioned, the Gemara tells us that you must blow al seder habrachos. And what do those tkios look like? Al seder habrachos. So here you find various possibilities. If you look at that lengthy Tosfos in Daf Lamed Gimel, Tosfos quotes several different shitos regarding simply the tkios that are al seder habrachos. One view is that of the aruch. The aruch is the one that will appear to us as being the most mistaber, the simplest view. The aruch said the following. Look, there are three possibilities. There's a tkia shvarm trua tkia, and there is a tkia shvarm tkia, a tkia trua tkia, and therefore the aruch said that one must blow all of them. A tashrat, a tashat, a tarat, for Malchios, and the same for Zichronos, and the same for Shofros. If Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros require Tkiah Shofar, and there is a question as to what is meant by a trua, all combinations have to be blown for each, and this is what we do, right? That Lachori is the most mistamer, right? Mikra Hadin, right? There really is a suffix in terms of the trua, and in such a case, therefore represent each possibility for Malchios, and then for Zichronos, and then for Shofros. However, as Tosfos points out, this is not the sheet of the Gaonim, this was not the sheet of the Rif. You look in the Rambam, in Perek Gimel of Hilchos Shofar, that is not the case. In fact, they did not used to blow three lines for Malchios, and three lines for Zichronos, and three lines for Shofros, but rather, they used to blow a single line for Malchios, a single line for Zichronos, and a single line for Shofros. Furthermore, they used to blow different lines. For Malchios, Tosfos writes the name of the Gaonim, they used to blow Tashrat. And then for Zichronos, they used to blow Tashat. And then for Shofros, they would blow Tarat. Different kios for Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. And Tosfos points out the obvious difficulty that Mimanavshach, you're not Yotzei. Whatever the broken sound means, you have to be consistent. So to blow a different Shrua for Malchios, then for Zichronos, then for Shofros, Tosfos writes, then how can that be? You're not being Yotzei at all. So realize, it wasn't just simply a difference in terms of what the trua means. According to the Aruch, our practice, they used to blow three times as many kolos, three lines, right, for Malchios, for Zichronos, and Shofros, right, according to the Gaonim, the Rif, the Rambam, only a single line. How do you understand the Shita of the Gaonim? So, two possibilities. One possibility is the following. This is what the Balamor writes. Rav Haigon just stated that you're Yotzei with any one of the broken sounds. Anyone is sufficient. Rabbi Avo just instituted uniformity. So you're going to now blow the tkios de miyush of 30 kolos. Blow that reflects every single minute. And the same thing is true. Any broken sound is sufficient. And therefore, in the Shmoneh Esrei, let's represent each possibility. So for Malchios, we'll do one. Zichronos, another. Shofros, a third. Because all of the Midarais are considered to be sufficient. All of them are considered to be Yom Yavava, Yehei Lachon. That's what the Balamor writes. If you look in the Rambam gives a different view. In Perek Gimel of Hilchos Shofar, the Rambam writes as follows, that Mikar Hadin, one has been Yotzei. with Tekiyos Demir Shav. We already blew every possible combination, and one now already fulfilled the mitzvah. And therefore the Rambam writes, since this is mere repetition for the Tekiyos, which are al Seder HaBrachos, so in such a case, it is sufficient, right, to blow the broken sounds of options, either tashat, tarat, tashat, not because Mikra Hadin this is sufficient, but Mikra Hadin you already say, based on the earlier Tekiyos Demiusha. So this is what Tosus quotes, right, the Shita of the Aruch, right, as many Tekiyos as we do, the Shita of the Rambam, the Rif, in the Gaonim. And then Tosus quotes a further Chiddush, and that is the view of Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam was balancing, right, two sensitivities. Now, issue number one is the following. You're going to follow the Gaonim, you're going to blow different tkios for Malchus, Ron, Shofar, Siman of Shach, you're not Yotze, you're not fulfilling the tkios, which are Al Seder HaBrachos. Rabbeinu Tam had to balance with the following. The Aruch was revolutionary. Now, everybody was blowing one line. And Jurgen Institute, no, we're going to blow three lines. It's a radical change. No, it's such an overt change. So Rabbi Natan wanted to balance as follows, that everyone should be Yotze, at the same time, not to deviate from the minhag of the Gaonim to the extent which is possible. So Rabbi Natan came up with the following Eitzah. The Gemara tells us this. What happens if Shama tes kolos betes shos beyom? What happens if a person hears a tekiah? And then an hour later, he hears Shvarim, and then an hour later, he hears Hitzkiya. So the Gemara says, look, L'chadchila, obviously not, right? You should hear the Kolos B'li Hefsik, but Shihu Yizman is not considered to be a Hefsik. So therefore, you hear one call 1 hour, and another call an hour later, a third call an hour later, B'di'evet, your Yotze. Rabbi Natan suggested a very great Chiddush, and that is the following. That just as the Gemara says that b'di'evet one would be yotze even if there's a shihu yizman, Rabbi Natan suggested kol acher eno mafsik. Let's assume in the interim there's an inappropriate kol. Rabbi Natan maintained that that also is not considered to be hefsik. Not merely that if there was a lapse of time, but even if there was a kol that didn't belong, b'di'evet you're still yotze. And therefore Rabbi Natan stated his great chiddush that if you blow Tkiah, Shvarim Shrua Tkiah, Miman of Shach Yir Yotze. Whatever the Torah means. If the Torah meant Trua as a Shvarim Trua, Gnuche Gonach, Yulu Yaleo, Yir Yotze. And if the Torah meant a Shvarim, you blew a Shvarim. I was followed by a Trua. That Trua is not the Ikuva. Right? If the Torah meant, for example, a Trua and you proceeded with the Shvarim, it's not the Ikuva. So that was the Chiddush of Rabbeinu Tam, the Kol Acher Inam Afsik. And therefore, Rabbeinu Tam suggested the following. For Malchios, Zichronos, and for Shofros, just blow one line of Tashrat. One line of Tashrat. In such a case, you're Yotze L'chol HaDeos. Either as it should be, or with the Kol Acher, which is Eino Mafsik. And that way, Miman of Shach, you're Yotze. And it's not such a deviation from the minhag of the Gaonim. Right? What did Rabbeinu Tam do that the Gaonim did not do? Two extra kolos. Now, an extra Shvarim and an extra Trua. So therefore, that Rabbeinu Tam was more comfortable with as opposed to instituting everything in a different fashion. That was the Chiddush of Rabbeinu Tam. If you look in Mechaber, the Mechaber writes an unusual minhag. This minhag seems to be right the most one which is fraught with difficulty. The Mechaber writes in Tavkuf Tzari Beis to blow three lines from Alchios, Zichronos, and for Shofros. Three lines, like the Aruch, but you know what? Three different lines. For Malchios to blow three times Tashrat, and for Zichronos to blow three times Tashat, and for Shofros to blow three times Tarat. That's what the Mechaber writes. Unusual, no? You're blowing the most kolos, and you're not solving the problem, unless you assume, like Rav Haigon, that you don't say with any possibility, and therefore this was just being done for the uniformity of a minhag. But this is the Chiddush of Rabbeinu Tam. Tashrat for Malchios, the same for Zichronos, the same for Shofros. However, this Rabbeinu Tam perhaps is L'shitase in the following sense. Shvarim true. On the one hand, it's a single kol. This is what the Torah calls a trua. On the other hand, it represents different sounds, Gnuche Gonach and Ilul Yaleel. So how does that play out? Different sounds, which Al-Pidin is considered to be a single kol. So that Tosfos quotes in Daf Lamed Gimel is a fundamental machlokes. Rov Rishonim against Rabbeinu Tam. Rov Rishonim maintained that the Shvarim Trua since Al Pidin it's a single kol, Yom Tri Lachem, therefore it must be blown b'neshima achas. Neshima achas. The Shvarim in the Trua. What exactly do we mean by neshima achas? That also is a machlokes. The Mishnah Berurah writes, this is found in Shumas Adeshen, that you pause in between the Shvarim and Trua, but you do not take a breath. That's neshima achas. Slight pause without breathing. And the Chazon Ish assumes that no, that neshima achas means that flows immediately, just like there's no pause in between the kolos of the Shvarim, there's no pause in between the Shvarim and the Trua at all. And what does shtei neshimos mean? The Shulchan Aruch writes explicitly, you have to breathe. Pausing is insufficient. The Baal Tekeh has to take a breath in between the Shvarim and the Trua. Rav Rishonim maintained that the Shvarim and Trua, since Al Pidin, it's a single kol, b'neshim achas. Rabbeinu Tam is of the opinion that that is not true. That since they represent Genuchei Gonach and Yilul Yolil, in such a case, shtei neshimos, shtei neshimos. That's the further machlokes between Tosfos as opposed to the view of the Rabbeinu Tam. See, perhaps one could suggest the following Meshitose. This Rabbeinu Tam that writes that when you blow a Tashrat, you're Yotze l'chol hadeos. Yeah, don't forget though, Rabbeinu Tam's Tashrat is b'shtei neshimos. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, even when you blow the Shvarim and the Trua, they are being blown independently. In which case, if that is true, then you can understand Rabbeinu Tam writes the kol acher is not mafsid. Realize though, if you follow Rov Rishonim, that the Shvarim Trua is b'neshima achas, maybe then you could argue, no, if you blow Shvarim Trua b'neshima achas, and all you had to blow was a Shvarim, all you had to blow was a Trua, that's not just simply kol acher in a mafsid, like you heard a kol 1 hour, and then an hour later you heard another kol. No, that corrupted the kol, because b'neshima achas, you have blown that which is not a Shvarim, or that which is not considered to be a Trua. It could very well be, although Tosfos does not spell this out, that the eighth Rabbeinu Tam of Tashrat is l'shitase of the case of Beis Neshimos. So again, this is important to bear in mind when it comes to the Chiddush of Rabbeinu Tam. We try to accommodate, right, Rabbeinu Tam Shita as well as that of Rov Rishonim. And there are various different possibilities in doing so. It's interesting that the Ramah, for example, writes that one should follow the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam. And therefore the Ramah writes, all the kolos are shtei neshimos. Right? We normally follow the Shita of the Mechaber, where the Mechaber writes in Tav Kuf Tzari that no, we have a lot of tkios. And therefore the Mechaber writes the first tkios, that should reflect the Shita of Rov Rishonim b'neshima achas. And the tkios demiumad, which are Seder HaBrachos, so in such a case then to do that, b'shtei neshimos. Rav Slavetchik did not do so, because Rav Eshik felt as part of the beginning of this year, the kium of the tkios of Seder HaBrachos as being, right, integral, as being an inherent part of Zichron Shrua, and Rov Rishonim is Neshima Achas. So Slavetchik used to blow the first kolos, the first 30 b'neshima achas, right? And the next, Al Seder HaBrachos also, all of that was blown b'neshima achas as well. At the very end of davening, right, the last 10 kolos, so that Rav Slavetchik would blow, like Rabbeinu Tam, b'shtei neshimos. Maybe you could argue, yeah, but then you don't have enough kolos. All you have is one line, right, of those kolos. So Slavetchik used to, at the end of the davening blow, right, the three times Tashrat, in that particular case. Now, for the last set of the kolos, because after all, Rabbeinu Tam is of the opinion that kol acher, right, eino mafsik. So in such an instance, various possibilities in terms of, right, how many kolos to blow. The most common minhag, right, is to split between tkiyos de miyushev and tkiyos de miyumar, or to split those 60 kolos with the later kolos, in fact, that follow. Many will blow for 60 kolos b'neshim achas, and then the 30 kolos which are after davening to blow b'shtei neshimos, right, to try to accommodate both of these possibilities. But a fascinating machlokas, the Tosfos says, just simply in terms of the Seder HaTkiyah itself. The Gemara tells us that the quality and the significance of the Tkiyah as opposed to that of the Trua is quite different. The Tkiyah, the Ramban points out, always represents, right, a sense of simcha. No taka b'shofar gadol l'chiruseinu as in Shmon Esrei. O yom simchaschem o'adeichem rashei chadsheichem utakatem in parshas baloscha. And the Truah represents, right, the yom yevavi elachon, a day of bechia. These different types of kolos, right, seem to reflect the very balance of what we experience during Yemei Hadin. That on a one sense is supposed to represent a call of great simcha, on the other hand it's supposed to represent the challenge. The Rambam writes that there's a mitzvah of simcha even on Rosh Hashanah as well. That's strongly implied by what the Rambam writes in Perek Vav of Hilchos Yantiv. At the same time, the challenge of Yom Hadin, and therefore, no doubt there is considered to be that balance. If you look in the Nusach HaBracha, Ki atah shomea kol shofar u'ma'azin shrua, ma'azin shrua. Right there, the bracha emphasizes shmia and umaazin, ha'azana. What exactly is the difference, right, between shmia as opposed to hazana? Here, the Midrash Rabbah writes in Parshas Hazinu, the Midrash quotes, right, two psukim. Parshas Hazinu, Hazinu Hashemayim v'adabera, v'sishma ha'aretz. Hazinu Hashemayim. And the Midrash Rabbah quotes the posuk in Yeshaya, Shimu Shemayim v'zini aretz. Hazana is referring to Aretz and Shimu Shamayim. Right? How do you resolve that apparent contradiction? Midrash Rabbah writes the following chiddush. It depends. When Moshe Rabbeinu was receiving the Torah Hashem, he was doing so b'shamayim, and therefore hezino hashamayim. Hazana is always mimakam karov. Shmia is always mimakam rachok. So in the Navi Yeshaya, the opposite is true. Shimu Shamayim. Right? Yeshaya received his nevuah ba'aretz. Moshe Rabbeinu was in fact b'shamayim. In other words, the Midrash writes that the term Shmiya means something which is heard in a more distant fashion. Hazan is something which is heard with more immediacy, something which is very close. Perhaps that's quite mediyak. In the bracha that Chazal were koveya, that it's true that Ki atah shomea kol shofar, but umazin shrua. The real hazana, the closeness that one feels during the Yemei Hadin is a person who can appropriately express the kolos of specifically Yom Tshuva Yelachem. That is the Avodas Hayom. That sense of Yom Yevav Yehilachem. But this is part of the challenge of Yemei Hadin. The Rush writes, this is the uniqueness of Knesset Yisrael. The Rush in the very end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah. To be able to balance the Simcha of Yantiv with the Yom Yevav Yehilachem of the Yemei Hadin. Bezras Hashem, we should be Zoche through the Tefillah Sayom of Zichron Tshuva, through the kolos of Yom Tshuva, to be able to balance and fulfill all of these aspects of the tefillah, avodah shebelev, and the mitzvah of shofar. Maybe we should...